Okay, the sermon today is on Do You Believe, Do You Have Faith? Do you believe, do you have faith? Now, not do you believe, do you have faith, but do you believe, period, and then the next question, do you believe, that is, question mark, and then the next question, do you have faith? Now, you might let that sink in a little bit while we're writing that down, because the two are different. They are. Even though the one really tells you that you should have the other, not necessarily is it always true. When you go into the Greek, we find that do you believe has a lot to do with faith. In fact, the two Greek words are a lot the same if you go into Greek studies. What's so nice now, brethren, about studying the Bible and going to a subject is you can look at every single scripture so quickly. Years ago, I think some of us still have the Strong's Concordance, or what was the other one? Did it start with an L? But anyway, it's like this. It was just huge, and you'd have to go to this word here and look it up and see what it was. And it took a long time, and now it's like this. You can study every single word in the Bible if you did want to do a word study. And you can go to see what the meaning is and the context within it, because that counts too. But there is no excuse for us if we have some type of a web site that you can go to not to have knowledge. We are to grow in knowledge. But there is a difference between believing and having faith, even though the words are basically the same. One is P-I-S-T-E-O-U-E or something like that, and the other is P-I-S-T-I-S. But they come from the same source and are closely affiliated. So what we want to do today is understand the difference between the two, and then we need to ask ourselves which category we fit into. Which category we fit into, because we see that that is really important. In thinking about the 50th anniversary, or the Church of God as a whole, when you look back to 1986, or a little past that, 1991, and we realize that there were 150,000 people keeping the feast, 150,000, and then we look at just all the Church of God's combined, and maybe you would have 45,000, maybe not that many at all, probably not 45. But we think with all the money that's been spent, Mr. Kylo mentioned yesterday that I think we had a budget back in 1986 just in the media department alone of $74 million. $74 million. That is TV, publications, some radio, anything going out in the way of media to get the attention of the public and the church concerning what the truth is. And yet, Christ, of course, did say, when I come, will I find faith on the earth? So with everything that is spent, when I come, will I have faith on the earth? And of course, Paul said, the foolishness of preaching is what he said. The foolishness of preaching. And I still remember what Paul said, all in Asia have left me. All in Asia have left me. So it is it's a tough row to hoe, especially if it's clay soil, especially if we have hard heads or if we lack faith. So it's not an easy road. It is a narrow way. And to stay in God's church and keep doing what is right is tough. So belief and faith. The world errs in their thinking concerning belief, and we're going to go look at just two or three scriptures to begin with, because when we take a look at the world view, we find that they look at this word and they isolate scripture is what they do. You can take one scripture, as, of course, you see put out by Protestant churches, you take one scripture and that's how you're saved. And here's just two or three that they go to. John 20 and verse 31. John 20 and verse 31. If you grew up in a Protestant church, and I know our young people did not, so you're not familiar with this. And by the way, when I grew up in the Lutheran church, I didn't really take note of these scriptures as a 15, 16, 17-year-old or as a 12-year-old going through communion classes. I didn't really think too much about salvation. A kid just doesn't sink in. Knowledge is coming in, but we're not putting it together as quickly as we will later on. Maturity comes at, they say, 25, 26, 27, 28 for guys, 17 for girls maybe. Girls start maturing a little faster, of course. But whatever the case, this is important to recognize. John chapter 20 and verse 31. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. That's just kind of a general scripture, and you can isolate that scripture. It is true, and when we understand what believe means and what life in His name means, of course, it's going to add up. But if you just isolate that scripture and not take the Bible as a whole, a little bit here, a little bit there, then you won't understand the scripture. I was talking to Mark earlier, and I was saying, wouldn't it be nice if you just had a chapter 43, faith, and you have everything on faith in that chapter. And then the next chapter, 45, belief. Was that the next chapter? So whatever it was, 44 and then 45, then the whole thing on belief. And then 46, how belief and faith interact. But that's not the way the Bible is written. It's written in a way so that people won't understand and that they will fall back and that they will not be accountable for what God has said in this age. Thomas Jefferson actually wrote his own Bible. I don't know if you knew that. It's called the Jefferson Bible, I think. But anyway, it was written by him, and he just took out anything he didn't like. It's like, I don't like this, so I'm not going to put that in. Well, I'm going to change the wording on that. So he just came up, well, wouldn't that be great? Well, in a sense, you know, when you get other writings based on the Bible, that's what people do. So this is a true scripture, but you just can't isolate it, because this has you believe that Jesus is the Christ. So most people don't know that Jesus was His common name and Christ had a much greater significance, the word Christ. So they really don't know what that meaning is. They say, yes, I believe that Jesus is Christ. Another one that you find is John 3, 15 and 16. John 3, verses 15 and 16. We know this very well. Whoever believes in Him should not perish, this is John 3:15, but have everlasting or eternal life. If I believe in Christ, I will not perish, but I will have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So you could isolate that scripture, and all you have to do is believe. Now, in Him, and you see translations, now you get into, is it E-N or is it ICE? Do you believe in Him or toward Him? But people don't know that. They're just reading. And they don't know what Christ is. They don't know what giving only begotten Son means. They don't know what the sacrifice means. So you isolate it, and people say, well, I believe in Christ, and therefore I'm going to be saved. Finally, there's one in John 6, and there are many. And by the way, the word belief is found more in the book of John than any other book. It's found 86 times in the book of John. Whereas in James, it's found twice, I believe. But 86 times. And this book was written 90 years later, so you know something was going on. And we do know that many believe that Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh, because that's what John wrote in 1 John. Many believed he did not come in the flesh. And 1 John, of course, spells out a little bit more about keeping commandments. So you have John written much later, but also 1 John to make sure people understood you keep the commandments. So John chapter 6, and let's go to verse 40. This is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up the last day. And oftentimes this is all that Christians know. They call themselves Christians. There are 2.19 billion Christians in the world. I think that came out in a blog this last week. Somewhat just over 2 billion Christians. Well, what this does tell us, though, is that no one else can be, that is, the Hindus, the Muslims, are not going to have everlasting life. That does get rid of 4 billion people. They're all going to burn in hell, as far as the Christians are concerned, because you have ever-burning hellfire among most of those who call themselves Christian. And you understand when I use the term, I'm using it very loosely. So now, what is it that we must do? John 5, since we're in John, let's go back to verse 24. John 5 and verse 24. Here it tells us, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life." A couple things I want you to note here, and one is we have to believe God's word. The term belief is still there, though, in the word belief is a verb. When you read the word believe, it is a verb. When you read the word faith, it is a noun. Okay? So again, very closely related, but one is a verb, and there's a difference between a verb and a noun. A verb is something that you believe, but you have not internalized, kind of the end of the sermonette. A noun is something that you have. Belief is something that is toward. You can agree that something has taken place. You know. See, I believe that is a chair. And all of you believe that what you're sitting on is a chair. And actually, you had faith that when you sat on that chair, it wouldn't collapse, because you're all sitting on the chair. Right? But it's two different things, it really is. Because I could say, do you believe that's a chair? And you'd say, yeah. Do you have faith that when you sit on it, it won't collapse? And most of us would say, well, yeah, I have experience. It hasn't so far. So you get into a difference when you have a noun and a verb. And there is a difference in what God wants us to have. That's why I started the sermon saying, do you believe? Question mark. Do you have faith? Question mark. Because it is so true that over the years in the church that people believed that the tribulation was going to come, that the end of the world was going to come, so that they would need to keep the Sabbath if they wanted to be saved. They believed in prophecy. They may have been scared, and we don't know whether the baptism took, so to speak. We don't know. We know that there are many where it just didn't. God is the judge of those things. We don't condemn in the church. We don't condemn at all. But notice, he who hears my word. So there were so many words spoken by Jesus Christ that it said the world couldn't contain them. That, of course, is an exaggeration. But still, there were a lot of words that Jesus Christ spoke. And we have to hear and believe toward him. We have to believe that what he said was true. We're supposed to. Believe in him, well, in this case, in God. It's not talking about Jesus Christ here, but believe in God who sent him, or sent Christ, has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. So you get scriptures like that. Now you get something that we have to do, and that is we have to be believing the words that he spoke to, not just the fact that he is our Savior. So what do we believe? Let's go to James 2 and verse 19. What do we believe? Here's how the word is used, and I picked this word, this example, because it's the most glaring example to me of belief, and it does us no good. We can believe, and it doesn't do any good. And again, James 2:19, you believe that there's one God, you do well, even the demons believe and tremble. So what is it? The demons, and this word is the same as all of these other words in the book of John. There's a belief system. There's a knowledge that demons have, right? But is there faith? Does that do them any good? Does belief do the demons any good? Does any of their beliefs do the demons any good? Do they believe mankind is not going to burn in hell forever? And the answer is, yeah, I think they know that. They have knowledge of that and they believe it. They don't want us to believe that. They want us to be fearful and think we're going to burn in hell. That's what they would like us to do. And unless they deceive themselves, and maybe on that one they have deceived themselves, who knows? But they have knowledge of a lot of things. And I can't tell you the difference between what they have knowledge of and believe and what they've deceived themselves into believing. I don't know. You know, deceit is huge, isn't it? But whatever the case, belief, just belief of going to heaven, do they know that we're not going to go to heaven? And the answer is, yeah, they do. Do they believe we're mortal? I think so. So you have their belief and it doesn't do them any good, even though it's the same word as if you believe in Jesus. And verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, and I hope all of us understand works of law means sacrifices, ritual system, Levitical system. When you see that word works of law, it's also noted deeds of law. Okay, so deeds of law in the book of Romans, works of law in the book of Galatians, and it's only used 6 or 7 times. Contextually, you see it is talking about the ritualistic system. But by faith in Jesus Christ, and actually you don't even have a preposition here, you have faith, Jesu Christos. Is that Greek or is that Latin? But anyway, faith, Jesus Christ. Even we have believed, different word now. So now we have faith, we have the noun, faith. It's something that we have. Even we have believed, okay, and we're going to find that this took place first. The belief took place first before the faith came. But we believe. So you have to believe somewhere along the line before you can ever have faith of Christ. You have to believe. So we have believed in Christ Jesus. And the word there is a belief. It's a P-I-S-T-E-O-U or O-E-U, whatever. You can look it up. And that is a preposition, Christ. That, so we believe in Christ first, so that we can be justified by faith, Christ. And it's interesting in the King James, they say faith of Christ. New King James, they always translate faith in Christ. And that's two different things too. It never should be translated faith in Christ, as far as what I've seen. Even though there's no preposition anyway, but it's faith of Christ is what it should be. Not by works of the law, for by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified. And I could just say this, if you do a study of righteousness, no one is righteous, no not one. We've determined, Romans 3, that Gentiles are not righteous, the Jews are not righteous. So if anybody ever reads, you know, not by our own works are we justified, it's like, well, There's nothing we've done anyway. We're all unrighteous in God's sight. All are unrighteous. Until Christ comes along and we have God's Holy Spirit, there's no such thing as righteousness. Until we have God's Spirit, there's no real thing such as righteousness. Whatever the case, you have belief in, that's toward Christ, so that we can have the faith of Christ. Now let's go back to James 2:19 and flesh this out just a little bit. James chapter 2. I was talking to someone the other day and I said, flesh it out. And they said, I think it's flesh it out. So, trying to change here. Yes, flesh is something else, right? James 2. Gets people's attention, though. For sure. Okay, James 2 is interesting. Now, you have the belief of the demons, verse 19. But now notice what it says. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith... It's interesting now, he doesn't go to belief, but he goes to the noun. Faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham our father? And notice what happens here when he is actually using an example. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Now, we can ask the question, does this have anything to do with Jesus Christ? Did the faith of Abraham have anything to do with Jesus Christ? And the answer is, yep, it did. Because it was only going to be through Isaac that Christ would come. The promise was through Isaac. So to actually offer Isaac, you would have had to have faith. It would be internalized. This would be one of the hardest, this would be the hardest thing anybody could do. You know, you see on the crime CSI or some of these other shows, and you see that someone is taken captive and they're supposed to do someone else's dirty work, and they will refuse until they find out that I'm holding your son. Ah. Then I'll go ahead and do it. I can die, but I don't want you to kill my son. I don't want you to kill my daughter. So when God is talking to Abraham and saying, you've got to sacrifice your son, it would have been easier, no doubt, for Abraham to say, take my life. But for God to say, no, I want you to sacrifice your son. Now, since God is the one who never does anything like that, maybe Abraham didn't know that at this time, but God has never had anybody ever sacrifice their children. But he was willing to do so. So it had to do with the coming of Jesus Christ. Faith in the future of blessings through Christ who would come through the seed of Isaac, Abraham and Isaac. Verse 22 then. Do you see that faith was working together with works. By works, faith was made perfect. Now, in this case, the works is not rituals. It is a sacrifice, but it's not rituals. By works, faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God. Now you come back to believe. Until he had faith, until he showed his faith, Scripture was not fulfilled. Scripture was fulfilled when you actually saw that Abraham internalized his belief and was willing to do something. And that is a major key when it comes to the word faith. And actually, belief in and of itself is supposed to have action. It's supposed to. But it doesn't always. So, Scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed in God. Believed God. And it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. So what we have here is the question, and we'll just ask the question, did Abraham believe that there was a God? You're all supposed to go, yes. He believed that there was a God for sure. Did he believe God? Because that's another question. And the answer is, he believed God. Now, did he have faith in God? And the answer is yes. So he had all three. The demons just have belief, but when it comes to, and you'll see that with the word faith, most of the time you have Jesus Christ connected with it. When it comes to faith, or even the word belief. If the word belief is with Christ, then you know something is going on here. If you just have the word belief, you can believe a lot of things. The one thing that demons do not believe, did not want to believe, was that salvation would come through Christ. And they want to make sure that the world only believes in Christ, that there is a Christ, and not that salvation really comes the way God has said it's going to come. So we get the difference? Are you all with me? Are you going to get an A on the test that I give? Because it is important to understand the difference. It just truly is. Okay, faith without works then is simply a dead belief, really. Although they call it dead faith, that faith is dead, but faith without works is simply dead believing, maybe using the verb. It's just dead believing. If you don't back up a verb with action, something internalized. Okay, Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, and you can't count this as two scriptures because they're within five pages of each other. So you can get to it fast. Hebrews 11. Notice, without faith, okay, not belief, without faith. So when it comes to pleasing God, belief is not enough. Without faith, verse 6 of Hebrews 11, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. Okay, so that's part of it. Then that he is a rewarder of those who diligently, there's that word diligent that came out of the sermonette, diligent, diligently seek him. So this is what we have to do. Faith means doing things, and we'll see quite a few scriptures here in a few moments as to what happens when we have faith. So we cannot even please God if we don't have faith. The demons are not pleasing God, of course. It's a moot point, isn't it? Demons do not please God. But we will please God if we have more than belief, if we really have faith, shown by our diligence in seeking God. Then we can start asking ourselves a question, because I said at the beginning, today we want to understand the difference, and then we want to ask ourselves which category we fit into. Do I just believe? I can be a theologian and not make it into the kingdom. I can study God. And we have a lot of good commentary, good and bad commentaries out there, where people believe and they study the subject of God, but they won't be in the kingdom naturally because most are not called. They're just not called. Heaven, kingdom of God. Okay. Until the first resurrection is what I mean by that. When I say they won't be in the kingdom, I think all of us know, but my wife lip syncs once in a while. So we're doing that more and more because we're losing our hearing, and so we just can study. We know what our lips are saying, After all, I'm over 70. I don't know how old she is. But notice now Ephesians 1 and verse 13. Ephesians 1 and verse 13, just to show us that we must have belief. So anytime we have the subject of belief, it's like, well, no, belief is not good. No, belief is absolutely necessary. Ephesians 1 and verse 13, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. So we hear the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, so we believe you were then sealed. So after, or having believed, meaning after belief, You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So we believe, and then we believe to the point we can repent because we hear the words. And we hear the words, we repent, and then we are baptized. We receive then the Holy Spirit. So it takes believing that there is a God. It used to be one of our most popular booklets, Is There a God? Then we believe the words of that God. We repent for not following those words, and then we're baptized. We have that belief system. At which time then we can have faith of. It's only then that we can have faith of. Up until that time we can believe, but to have faith of is something different. So let's go back to Galatians 2:16, and then I'll show you some results of living faith. Galatians 2 and verse 16. And I'm just coming back to this because I want to emphasize this point. We were already there. Galatians 2 and verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by works of law, but by faith Christ. King James, faith of Christ. Now how can you prove that? How can you prove that it is the faith of Christ? Well, we'll continue. Even we believed in Christ that we might be made right by faith of Christ. Before we have the faith of Christ, there is no such thing as being made right. The process started, of course, when Jesus Christ died. But as we know from the resurrection chapter, if Christ were not raised from the dead, everybody would be dead in their sins. So no one was made right yet at that point, but the door was open to the Most Holy. It was open for Jesus Christ himself, because he would enter, because of his sacrifice, he would enter into the Holy of Holies. And through that process, we would then eventually be made right. But now, verse 20, how can we know that absolutely it is the faith of Christ? It's because we died. And a dead person has no faith. I've been crucified with Christ, verse 20, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So if I don't live, how can it be my faith? Can't be. None of us have that faith. But when we receive the Holy Spirit, we're crucified with Christ, and you can go to Romans 6, verses about 1 through 5 on this. When I receive the Holy Spirit, then now Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God also. Or faith, Son of God. Actually, in this case, in is not there. I'm pretty sure. I'd have to double check. But it's still faith, Son of God, or faith, Jesus Christ. That's how I live. It's by that same faith. Now, 1 John 2 and verse 6. 1 John 2 and verse 6. When John was writing 60 years later, 70 years later, he said this: the following. He who says he abides in him, that is in Jesus Christ, ought himself also to walk just as he walked. So now that is the faith of Christ. I'm going to live like Jesus Christ. I'm going to have the faith of Jesus Christ. I have to live like him. If I don't live like him, then I'm not abiding in him. Am I going to do everything he did? And that is, well, except for the gifts that God gave him, and except for the mission that he had as the Son of God who gave his life for all mankind. We can't do that. But can we become perfect as God wants us to be perfect? And the answer is, yeah, we can. So there's no excuse ever, well, my dad and mom weren't patient people, and I'm not patient either. It just kind of goes with my hair. Or, my no hair or whatever. We cannot do that, brethren. We actually are in a different church. We are unique. And I've said so many times, and I said this back years ago, we're not Lutherans, we're not Methodists, we're not Catholics, we're in God's church. And we're supposed to act like we're supposed to be different. And we're different because we have died, and we are different people. We're just different, totally different than the way we grew up. If you're brother and sister, you know, see you and they're around you for a while and they say, well, you haven't changed a bit since you were 15 years old. That is not a compliment. We should be different. They might not say anything. I mean, they may not say you're different, but they shouldn't say you're the same old guy. You know, you get upset like you did before. Your temper is the same. And no, it shouldn't be that way. Should it? We got to be different because God has called us to be righteous. So what are some of the things here in the last few moments? Romans 3:22. We'll hit a few of these scriptures. And the word mostly in these cases are believe, because God's attitude is that when you believe, this is where it should go. Once you believe, this is where it ends up. So Romans chapter 3 and verse 22. Even the righteousness of God. Okay, that's apart from the law. What law? Now, I like to pick on this one, because if anybody gets in your face and says, well, righteousness of God apart from the law. Okay, that's in verse 21. What law is it? Well, you can determine what it is by not isolating scriptures again. Never isolate scriptures. Never say, well, this scripture is the scripture, the one scripture that I live by. We had a fellow that was an elder back in Cleveland in 74, 75. And he gave a Passover service. I gave it somewhere else. And he said, if there's just one scripture in the entire Bible to live by, and he said, you can live by it too. You can just have this one scripture only. And then he pulled out, believe Christ. And he went out of the church, took people out with him. People started keeping Sunday, you know, believing and going to heaven when they died. And it's like, you never isolate scriptures. We have to have scriptures to understand scriptures. You just can't. There's a million words in this Bible. And we have to take the whole book. We just can't isolate scripture. Unless you want to be Thomas Jefferson. And if you want to be him, he's dead. So it's not a very good state. So, but even the righteousness of God, which is through faith, and I was going to say apart from the law, that law has to be what? Has to be the law of works. Go by the context. Read chapter 2 again. The commandments are there, and they have to do with being doers, just being justified by being doers, and the chapter is talking about the Ten Commandments. Just go there and read it, and then you go to chapter 3, and you know that's not the law it can be talking about. So even the righteousness of God, which is through faith, Jesus Christ. When we have the faith of Jesus Christ, we live by God's law. And you can go back to a psalm on that and figure it out. What all your laws are righteousness. Philippians 1:29 says, and maybe I should... not go to some of these, but we will, the first couple here. Philippians 1 and verse 29. For to you it's been granted on behalf of Jesus Christ, not only to believe in him. Ah, not only? Oh, wait a minute. I just like the believe. Let's leave it at belief. Let's not go the not only, because that's not good, right? I mean, that is not what John said. John said you just believe, right? And now Paul gets in there and he says, not only believe. So what are you going to choose? Well, I'm going to follow John. I'm a disciple of John. And this is what people do. We had a Lutheran minister. I was on my way to Miami for a Luther League conference. And I still remember this because the question was brought up in the train on the way to the Lutheran minister about Paul talking about 1 Corinthians 7 was the context. And he said, well, you know, Paul didn't go along with the other apostles. You have to understand that everything Paul said was not totally correct. And I still remember that to this day. And I thought, And as a kid, you just hear it, but then it comes back. I had a Catholic priest who I was counseling with, and he took the Bible and threw it across the room. So, and you can't take the Bible literally is another one. Whatever you don't like, just don't take literally. That's it. Love your wife. But you don't want to take that literally. Your wife might. Okay, on behalf of Christ, to suffer for his sake. So that nothing to do, we suffer for his sake. Titus talks about maintaining good works. That's something. And that's believe. The word believe is used in all of this. Hebrews is talking about if you believe, you enter into a rest. It's talking about the Sabbath there in Hebrews. Chapter 4 and verse 3, if you want the chapter and verse on that. Entering into a rest. If we believe. If we believe, then, and this is the last two I will go to. 1 John 5 and verse 5. 1 John 5 and verse 5. Who is he who overcomes the world? Well, I don't have to overcome anything. All I have to do is believe. He who believes that Jesus is the Son of God overcomes the world. Overcoming is tough, isn't it? It is for me. Overcoming. And then finally, Revelation 14 and verse 12. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith Jesus. So, we have to be patient right to the end, and we keep the commandments of God. And it is amazing what's happening in this age, brethren, as you know as well as I do, and one of the songs pointed this out that we were singing, that there's more darkness in the world as time goes along, and it creeps up on us. What we hear in the news, the judgments that are being made, and thankfully the Supreme Court made a halfway decent judgment this past week. But it is amazing that you, in a healthcare system, the system that is very, very cheap for the poor and very, very expensive for the rich, but in a healthcare system where the government tells you you must buy that system, and they tell you, you must provide money or the means to abort your children. That was the issue with Hobby Lobby and a few other companies. Now, what are we getting into? Well, we don't have an immoral, we don't have an immoral society. We have an amoral society. We don't have any morals, period. There's just nothing. It's just whatever you want. So it's going to be harder to keep God's commandments as time goes by. But I hope all of us stay the course. I hope all of us don't just believe that there's a God or believe in God. I hope all of us have the faith of Christ to do what God says.